Amen. Good afternoon, morning. We've got 2 minutes to go before it's afternoon. Church, it's been 3 weeks since I've been here. And I've got to say, it's great to be back. I am a little bit biased. My church is the best church in the world. And I love it. And anytime I come back, I've been away 3 weeks. And I come back and I'm amazed. Two bowls. You think I'm going to need two bowls? Okay. It feels good to be back. Lots of new faces. I don't want to say old faces because your faces don't look old. But yeah, let's pray. And then the worship team. Amazing worship team. Just amazing. And Eddie. Hi, Eddie. Wonderful. And we could end there. Amen. Tremendous to see men come through the rehab, the home, and then move into ministry. With all their gifts and their talents. This is what Benny's the same. Benny's the same. So we're going to pray and then the worship team are going to sit down. And we're going to get into the word of God. Because I believe God has a word for us today. Father, we just thank you for your presence. What an anointing in this room. Holy Spirit. Lord, it is your spirit that does what you want to do. It's not a work of man, but it is the work of you. And God, you can do anything. Nothing is impossible for you. So we take the limits off now, God, and we believe you for everything in this church. We believe you that today is a day of change. Today is a day that is beautiful. Beautiful, God. A new season in our lives. Father, use me. Whatever you want to speak, whatever you don't want to speak, Lord, I just want to be a vessel. Because it is completely about you. And I just give you free rein. Do whatever, God. Do whatever. Speak whatever. Do whatever. Let faith fill this room. Let faith fill our hearts. Let the faith of God fill every heart in this place. Then miracles explode. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Worship team, you can take your seats. So we're going to... this morning I had something quite interesting happen to me. I've been studying for about 4 days. You know, on and off. And at 6:15 this morning, I opened my iPad and I went onto my notes and right in front of my very eyes, the whole lot just disappeared. It was like, ooh. I was like, okay. Went onto my other iPad, one of the kids' iPads, because we have iCloud, so it passes onto the notes of iCloud. Open it up, there they are. I was like, praise the Lord. All of a sudden, all the notes completely gone. So at 6:15 this morning, I was like, right, okay. So I jotted down a few notes, and obviously God just wants to do something different. But I knew, I was like, okay. It's okay. This is like normal stuff. When you're about to preach or you're about to bring God's word, things happen that would never happen. So bear with me as we find it. Now, I know that Pastor Roy spoke on, for those that were here this morning, he spoke on a message to do with the lame man in Acts. And I know for the time that we, this last few weeks, that we've, all the speakers have been speaking on the book of Acts. And I want to thank the pastoral staff, the men pastoral staff, for giving me the opportunity, for allowing me to preach I really don't take it lightly. And so I want to first of all give a little bit of history, which I'm sure everybody else has given history about Acts and you've heard a lot about it, but I just want to set the scene of what I'm about to speak. Now, I was given a scripture text to speak from, and so whenever you're given that, especially someone like me, who loves to just speak from the Spirit, all of a sudden I'm constrained. No, I wasn't constrained, it's okay. I was guided, no. Boundaries, right. So I was given a text, and so the text I was given was Acts 3, verse 1 to 11. And so I was preparing for that, and I believe that God has got some key things that he wants to bring out within this text, key things. So this, the book of Acts was where the early church was birthed. We know that. The Pentecost, the baptism of the Holy Spirit was poured out. And then from that place, Peter spoke a message in boldness and 3,000 people got saved. This was the birthing of the church. And this was the Acts of the Apostle. Luke was the writer, the author of this book. And we all know Luke was a doctor. These are important things when you're reading within a context, understanding as to why Peter would have brought out, or Luke, the writer, would have brought out about the healing of the lame man. Because he was a doctor. So for a lame man to be healed, and we're going to read the text in a minute, for a lame man to be healed in a doctor's mind, any doctors in the house? Okay, one. There's a couple I know, they're hiding. The doctors are hiding. It's okay. So for a doctor to see a lame man get up and walk and he's never walked, that's pretty miraculous. So also in the book of Acts was Luke, the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts was in the commentaries was said to be all one book. And then it was split into the Acts of the Apostle. And this is very interesting stuff when you're studying because it helps you to understand why it was written, how it was written, when it was written. And when you're reading scripture, we have to be really careful to read things in the context of what it was written. What also happened in the book of Acts is the prophecy was given that the Lord said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Important prophecy. This was the beginning of the church and the gates of hell would not prevail against it. And this is where we're still in that age today. We're not in Judea or Samaria. We're in the utter ends of the earth. The Holy Spirit is still working today and still building his church and expanding the kingdom through his Spirit and establishing the church. And the enemy, though he tries, will not prevail against the plan that God has. He may try, but he fails every time. Not just sometimes, he fails every time. If we stand the test of time, if we endure to the end, we will be saved. Not if we jump off the path halfway through, not if we have a little sort of hokey-cokey different thing, but if we endure to the end. That's what we're called to do, is to endure. It was also the time when God gave the gifts of the Holy Spirit. How exciting are the gifts of the Holy Spirit? He gave tongues, which is very controversial today, but he gave them. He gave tongues. This is also where the apostolic authority and anointing was released to plant churches. Also, world missions was birthed in this place. We talk a lot about world missions. This is where it started to happen. And then moving in for that, the theme and the scripture in the whole of Acts, one of the most important scriptures is, Acts 1:8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of this earth. As the Church of Jesus Christ, that is our main aim, to be witnesses and to spread the gospel. That's what we're called to do, is out of these doors to be a witness so that people may come to the faith of knowing Jesus Christ. And then today we come into the scripture that I've been given. So Acts 3:1-11. But I'm not going to read 1 to 11. I'm just going to read the first few verses, and then I'm going to bring the other verses in. And it says, a lame man healed. Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask for alms, which is begging, from those who entered the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple asking for alms, and fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, look at us. So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping and stood up and stood and walked, entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. Now, there is more scripture, but you can read the rest of the scripture, but we are going to sort of dip in and out of it. Now, there's a few points I want to bring out here. First of all, the word says that the man was lame from his mother's womb, meaning he had never, ever walked, meaning he had never used his legs, meaning he didn't even know what it felt like to walk. So his legs were completely, there is an actual word, but I can't think what it is, but where you've never used something, it shrinks. I remember when I was in hospital a long time ago, and I didn't use my legs, one particular leg, and it shrunk to a wonderful size, really. It looked pretty nice to me because I didn't use it. But that's what must have happened to this guy, is that his legs must have been like really small and really little because he'd never used it. Bearing in mind, whenever God puts something in his word, he always adds things because he's trying to speak to you about something. He doesn't just add details because he just likes to bring a load of detail for no reason. There's always a purpose in what he's speaking. And what he likes us to do is he likes us to dig for those purposes, because the word of God is like treasure. And as you seek and eat and delve into the word of God, it will show you nuggets that will transform your life. That's why it says that the word of God is our daily bread, and that we cannot live upon anything else apart from the words that come out of his mouth. So in those days, they didn't have wheelchairs, they didn't have crutches or cars, they didn't have incapacity benefit or anything like that. If you were lame and you couldn't walk, you had to be carried. I mean, that's like your whole choice is completely taken away. You're just like, anyone could carry you anyway. It's like, yeah, let's take him over there today, dump him over there. What a terrible thing to have all your choices taken away from you. Another important detail, it says in scripture, a certain man. Now let's go back, because that's a certain man lame from his mother's womb. Now that word certain is a really important word. Sometimes we think, oh, it's just certain. No. It's a very important word. The word certain was used in many of the miracles that Jesus did. The certain man called Lazarus, a certain man called Zacharias, a certain man was here, a certain man was by the pool, a certain man was a beggar, a certain man. So I started to look into that word, certain. It actually means appointed, intentional, for a time like this, seasonal, and the timing. You see, this lame man that was brought to the place carried, who carried him? I don't know. It couldn't have been his mum, because he was 40 years old, unless she was like, you know, quite a strong woman on her back. So like, come on, son, we're off to the temple. You know, I don't know. In the Bible, it says they carried him. So that means there's more than one, right? Okay, so there must have been two fairly strong men to carry this man. They carried a certain man to the place outside the temple gate called Beautiful. Now that word certain, and they also said they laid him. They laid him. And when I studied into, they carried him, they laid him, a certain, I was like, wow, what if it was his mum? Because in the temple gate, let me just describe to you about the Beautiful gate. I wanted to get a picture, but this morning was a little bit difficult to get it all on JPEG. But the Beautiful gate was about 76 feet high. And the actual temple was about 6 football pitches. So I need you to visualize how big this was. This is the central place in Jerusalem for all the religious activity. And this is where everything happened. This is where, when Jesus was a little boy, this is where he went. This is where he got lost. Well, no wonder he got lost, because if there was 6 football, I'm like, well, of course, no. But it was massive. So this is the place. And also, the reason why they called it Beautiful Gate is because it was adorned in gold. It was adorned in jewels and gold, and it was actually very beautiful. But there is a deeper reason why they called it the Beautiful Gate, which we're going to look at. So they laid him, and in at the Beautiful Gate, they had another bit that went in, and it was a court, but it had no ceiling. So it was just the walls. And that was the place where the women would go and pray. Because in those days, the women were separated. The women had their courts, and the men, the priests, would then go into the central part, which had walls and doors so the women couldn't hear what the men were doing. No. But they used to go into, the men used to then go to another part, and then they would be in there. But the women couldn't go to, the women couldn't go through into that bit. And also, the disabled, the lame, anybody with any defect was not allowed past the Beautiful Gate. So you can imagine there was probably reams of disabled and lame people all sort of hanging around outside this gate. I went to India probably around about 15 years ago now. I was saved when I went to India. I'm really glad I was saved, because I probably would have not come out of India alive. And I remember sitting having a meal. We were staying in this really nice hotel. We were having this meal, and from the beach, there was some people that had no arms and legs. And if you've been to India, there's lots of them. They even cut their own children's legs and arms off to get more money. I mean, it really is, like, pretty. So we would be having our meal, and then all of a sudden, they would be these ones that had no arms, and they'd had them cut off, and they'd come, and they could reach up, and they could put their stump on our table, and they were asking for money like that. I mean, it was like a horrible sight. And that's what came to my mind when I was thinking about the Beautiful Gate. I was thinking, do you know, there must have been all stumps and lepers. And, you know, if you were about to go into the church to pray, you'd run in there. You'd be like, my gosh, look at all these people. I'm going to catch something if I speak to them. Run. I say that. But many of us as Christians do that, don't we? Many of us do that. We see someone begging. We see someone stinking. We see somebody. We're like, whoa, don't catch their eyes. Whoa. We do that. But not Peter. Peter walked past, And this is where it gets very interesting. Peter and John walk past. Now, Peter and John were part of Jesus' threesome. Interesting. No. Peter and John were part of the closest three. And so the two disciples, Peter and John, would have spent most of their time with Jesus. And we all know that. And Peter, and this is where you know they must have taken note. You see, because Peter was Jewish and Jesus had ascended, he'd gone, okay? So it's not Jesus walking around doing miracles now. It's not Jesus stopping by the dirty beggars and the Samaritan woman and the prostitutes. See, it's not Jesus anymore. All of a sudden, Peter now, after the Pentecost, after the bold preaching, after that, he now starts doing what Jesus was doing. Because that's what we're called to do. We will do greater things, the Lord says. Now he stops to the lame man. I imagine John was like, are we doing this? Or are we going in to pray? Are we going in to pray? Or are we doing this? We're obviously doing this. Okay, we're doing this. Because they were men, you know. Sometimes we have to really think about that they were men. They had feelings. They had thoughts. He was Jewish. It wasn't clean to speak or let alone touch a lame man. And yet he went to him and he intently looked at him. He intently stared at him. And all the beggar wanted, all the lame man wanted, is he just wanted some money. He just wanted, just give me some money. Alms is another word for begging. But if you study the word alms, it's actually in Greek a word called mercy. So when you see the beggar out on the street or whatever begging for money, they may think they're asking for money, but they're really asking for mercy. Because when you look at that beggar or you look at that drug addict or you look at whoever it is on the street, see, they're asking for money because they think they need something natural. They need maybe some drugs or they need maybe drink or they need food. And a lot of them don't need food, not in this country, personally. So I would say 95% of them need drugs and drink. But we look at them and I think, when I've looked at them before, I think, listen, brother or sister, you don't need a few coins. You need mercy, my friend. You need the salvation of God. You just want to go, you think a couple of coins are going to sort you out, you nutter. But you don't do that because you'd probably get arrested and thrown into prison. But do we feel like that? You feel like saying you've got the little cup out and, you know, I need a few coins. And you're thinking inside yourself, if you're born again, you need a whole heap more than a few coins. You need God to come in, fill you up, change your heart, turn you around, baptize you in the Holy Spirit, tongue speaking, demons stomping. You need to rise, get up, you dirty beggar, and rise. I just wonder whether we should be doing more of that. Or what would they do? But I just wonder. I'm speculating. I'm throwing it out there to you. Because maybe if we're supposed to be doing what Jesus did, then surely we should be doing more of that. And we should be radically doing things. He was probably laid there because it was a busy place. It was the 9th hour, which is 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And I think he was probably laid there. Possibly he could have been laid there by his mother, even though two men carried him, because the courts were just by where the women were praying. It could have been. You know, that is, imagine if you were a woman and your son had been born lame and you knew, you were Jewish, and you knew that that son was just rejected completely. He was not accepted near the temple, and the only way that you could bring him close, this is what I would do. The only way you could bring your son close was to bring him outside that gate. and trusting and believing and praying that one day my son will be healed. Was there a praying mum involved? I don't know about you, but I wouldn't be here today if my mum had not been praying for me. See, my mum wasn't even in church when she was praying for me. My mum didn't even know what tongues were when she was praying for me, and God baptized her in tongues. She used to pray for me and my brother when we were drug addicts. And she said, I used to be sitting in the lounge praying for you and Marcus. And all of a sudden, this language was bubbling up. Every time I prayed for you, and I would just speak in tongues for hours. She didn't know it was tongues. And sometimes in church, everything's all sort of like... See, sometimes God does things way out of the box. Way out of the box. And I use that as an example because sometimes, you know, we need to hear the fact that my mum was never been raised in a Christian family, knew nothing about Christianity. She just was believing for me and my brother to get delivered off of drugs. And God delivered her, healed her, saved her, filled her with the Holy Spirit way before she came anywhere near a church. She didn't even know about being born again and filled with the Spirit. Powerful testimony. You know, powerful testimony. Maybe it was his mum, I'm speculating. She was in there praying for her son, knowing that nobody would have anything to do with him. Maybe she'd heard that about Jesus. Maybe she'd heard him doing miracles and the powerful things that have been happening. Maybe the lame man had heard outside the beautiful gate. Maybe he'd been sat there. He could have been there when Jesus, as a little boy, went missing. You never know. Maybe Mary and Joseph went to him and said, have you seen my son? Have you seen my son? Jesus. I'm sure 100% that Jesus, when he preached in the temple, that this lame man heard. He heard Jesus. He heard of the miracles. He heard the Son of God has been crucified. I wonder how he felt. Well, there's my chance of being healed. He could have felt that way. I imagine how many other people must have felt that way when Jesus died. That's it now then. Back to the begging spot. Better get out the cup. There's many things we can speculate about. But it's important to speculate. It's important to think through the Word of God. It's important to think of it in reality. And for God to give us revelation of his words and understanding. See, the lame man, whether his mum had brought him, whether someone else had brought him, the fact of the matter was he was a certain man. Not that he was certain, because I don't think he was. But God knew him. God knew him before the foundations of this earth. He foresaw that for 40 years he would be at that beautiful gate. You see, sometimes we don't realize that God sees our situation. We think, am I going to carry on with these things for year after year, coming to the house of God and nothing changes? And I believe that there is a certain time for everybody. And I believe deeply within my heart that consistency and faithfulness and positioning has a lot to do with whether you receive what God has for you. I believe it with all of my heart. I may have only been around 15 years, but I know that there has been times where God has delivered and healed and brought revelation and brought counsel for me just turning up. I didn't have anything special or any big faith in my heart, but I thank God for mercy. I thank God that I may not know what I needed. And I may have been asking for the wrong things. I may have been asking for a small bit of change. I may have been asking God, but God in his mercy knew my heart. He knows your heart. And you may be asking for the wrong things. You may be asking for things that are very natural. I need this. I need you to change this. But God sees into your very being, and he sees what you really need. He sees your spiritual need. He sees your need for wholeness, for wholeness, not just a physical thing, but a spiritual thing, an eternal thing, a wholeness that comes about you. God foreknew the lame man. He was a certain man. Not that he was certain. Oh no. It was intentional from God down. It was the working of the Holy Spirit. It was the moving of him, the Spirit of God, upon a man's heart. And I'll show you why I believe that. It said further down that even though it says, Peter then fixed his eyes on him. Now, in the scripture, you'd think he fixed his eyes upon the lame man. But if you look at the him in scripture for Greek, it's actually the third person. Now, I believe that Peter fixed his eyes upon the Holy Spirit, knowing that God, not Peter, not anybody else, but God, the resurrection power, the God, the Jesus, the Spirit of God that dwelled within him could rise this man. I believe that in scripture it says, then fixing his eyes on him. I don't believe he was looking at the lame man. Because let me tell you something. When you look at the natural man or the natural woman, you might as well give in now. Seriously. Maybe even some of your faces, I could walk off here now. And I'm being honest, it's the truth, I'm not being funny. What I'm saying to you, if we operate very much in the natural, and I look, or you look, and we see with the eyes of the natural man, faith has got no play in that whatsoever. I believe that Peter fixed his eyes on him, the author and the finisher of our faith. I believe that Peter believed for this man. I also believe that the layman, and this is going to get a little bit deep, so you better hang on to your hats. I also believe that the layman, how does faith come? Okay, let me ask you a question. Faith comes by? Okay. I believe also that the layman had been hearing the word of God in his 40 years, or 30 years since Jesus was on the earth, hearing. I also think in his natural mind, nothing had happened. But in his spirit man, there had been deposits, depositing the word of God. I want you, for every person in here who's born again of his spirit, to think back. Now you're saved at the deposits that the word of God made in your life. You think back. Were you aware of it? Did you save yourself? Did you think about, let me get saved today. This is my day of salvation. Anyone would have told me 15 years ago that I would have been a Christian. I probably would have fallen over and wiggled my legs in the air. There is no way on this earth would I have been a Christian by choice. And that's just the truth. I wasn't raised in a Christian family. I wasn't looking for God. I didn't feel I needed God. I just needed to sort my life out. God, the Holy Spirit, is depositing the word. That is why it says in scripture, how beautiful are the people who are the feet that bring the good news. How beautiful. Because if we don't go and if we don't speak it, then who does? Because there is an appointed time of salvation. See, many people spoke to me about the Lord. Years and years they spoke to me about the Lord. I remember even going to some Christian barn dance at 7 years old, sat on a hay bale, When I got saved, I clearly remember every single moment the Holy Spirit, God tried to reach me. When I got saved, I remembered it all. Did that happen to just me or did that happen to you? Every instant that God was depositing within my life, I believe that's what happened to the lame man. Every deposit, every bit of word that he heard, everything that was deposited, all of a sudden, the Spirit of God and the faith within the man, the word and faith coming together. How did we get saved? That's how we got saved. The Spirit and the word coming together. Was it anything you did? Was it anything I did? No. The Bible says he first loved us. We didn't go looking and loving on God. He reaches into us and draws us out of darkness into his light. And then it says, then it goes on to say, after that, there was a change of heart. It doesn't say that, but I'm going to show you where it says how I can prove that. There was a change in the lame man. How do I know? All of a sudden, he looked and he was expecting to receive something. That's what it says in Scripture. He was expecting to receive something. How on earth did he go from begging with his bit of coins? How on earth did he get to the place where he was asking for a bit of money to all of a sudden, in Scripture, he gave them his attention, expecting and also expecting to receive? That's because the Holy Spirit moved upon his heart. And hope started to stir. Hope. Anyone ever felt that when all of a sudden you start thinking, you know what? Maybe this could change. Maybe I could be healed. Maybe this is my time. Maybe those things that no one else can see are going to be healed. Maybe that abuse I had as a child, it's going to be washed away. Maybe the rejection that disables me from the inside will be healed. Maybe. Hope. There's a song I could jump into. Hope is stirring, hearts returning to you. Do-do, 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 do-do. We turn to you. The Lord, his Spirit, turned the lame man and hope started to stir. Oh, maybe this is my time. Maybe. And then Peter did something fantastic. He took him with his right hand. Now, the right hand is very significant in the Word of God. Like I said in the beginning, Not one bit of the word, there's always a significant meaning. And it's something you have to dig deep in to find the meaning. Peter took him by the hand, right hand, and he lifted him up. He said, "Get up, arise, for Jesus of Nazareth has healed you." I'm ad-libbing, but you can read your word. It's like similar. But what I want to focus on is two things. Rise. Rise. The word rise is the same word that rose Jesus from the dead. It's the same word that dwells within you. It's the same power that we have available to us as born-again believers. It's the resurrection power. Do you know sometimes I struggle because we don't talk about the resurrection as much as we should. Do you know it's the resurrection power that saves us? It's the resurrection power that turns our heart. It's the resurrection power that heals us. It's the resurrection. It's a powerful thing and it's underestimated. And when we recognize what that means, and I believe that when he took him with the right hand, He took him with the right hand and told him to rise. He wasn't, Peter was nobody, really. I mean, I'm not belittling Peter, you know, I'm sure he is. But what I'm trying to say is, it's not the man of man. It's not, and he even goes on, Peter, to say that further in scripture. He says it's not the persuasive words of man. It's not anything man does. It's the resurrection power. It's the power of the Spirit that does the work. He just needs available vessels. He's really not bothered about the vessel, but he needs a clean vessel. Clean, not polluted, but clean, so he can move freely without things to cloud it, to move freely. And then when he got up, which is a miracle, he got up and he ran to the church. See, nobody told him to run to the church. And then what I loved is it said he went in there with Peter and John. He'd never been allowed in there. He'd never seen the inside of that temple. And not only did he go in the bit where the women were, he was allowed in. I mean, that was a trip. No wonder he was jumping about. You know, we're just nosy, aren't we? I mean, it's just nosy. We just want to get in there. What's in there? Let me in. He went in there praising God and jumping around. And I'm sure all the pious ones were like, isn't that guy that was out by the gate? Oh my gosh, he stinks. I'm sure the religious ones were just interested in what he was or wasn't wearing. Or what he smelt like. But God was trying to convey a message that it's not about the outside, but it's about the heart. He's always working upon the heart. There is a scripture. There's three scriptures that tally, and I'm going to come into a land in the next few minutes, so keep with me. I hope it's not too deep. Are you all right? It's not deep, is it? No. I am deep. I'm a bit of a deep cookie, okay? But it's okay. It's okay to be a little bit deep. The word beautiful in this context, the beautiful gate, wasn't just about it was adorned and it was massive, but there was a meaning to that gate. Number one, the Bible talks about the gate being, it says, I'll read it, in Matthew 7:13, it says, enter by the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. God was talking. He was trying to convey a message about the gate and about the way of the gate and the way and the walk of Christ. It's a narrow one. It's simple, but it's not easy. Christianity, being led by the Spirit, is simple, but it's not easy. The word beautiful is a word called hora, and it means flourishing. It means timely. It means the hour. And the beautiful gate, at that time for the layman, it was a pretty beautiful gate. And I'm sure he'd seen the adorning for years. But at that moment, that season, you see, there is a season for everything. There is a time for everything. And you have to know that everything does not come all at once. And many Christians want to run away because they do not see the things they want to see. But there, I want to declare to you today that there is a beautiful time, a flourishing time. An appointed hour, an appointed time where he makes everything beautiful. It says it in Ecclesiastes. Did I write it down? He has made everything beautiful in its time, meaning it's allocated. There's an allocated time. There's a season for everything. He has put eternity in their hearts, except that no one can find out the work that God does from beginning to end. See, he is the creator, the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega. Before the beginning of time, he knew you and me and knitted us together in our mother's womb, in exclusion for a work that he ordained before the beginning of time. He ordained your salvation, the day, the certain hour, the certain season that he was going to let the word and the spirit join together to bring salvation in your life. And all of a sudden, you're born again. And if you are born, if you're not born again, there is a certain time for you today to be born again. If God has brought you here for this season, it's not by coincidence. God is not a coincidental God. He orders things into place. And if your season or your situation is not beautiful yet, guess what you need to keep doing? You need to keep coming. You need to consistently keep coming until the day where it is beautiful and the season changes. I don't know if today is your season of change, but my question to you is, are you expectant to receive? Because the Bible tells me that expectancy is something very, very key in when you're asking for something. What is the, it also says, ask, seek, knock, ask, seek, knock. Doesn't say that just stop there once, twice, three times. Do you know there's some things that I've been asking for 15 years? I've not seen it. Does that mean I'm just going to go, oh, well, that's it. He don't care. He's not bothered. Let's forget that one. Throw it all into touch. No, because I'm expectant. I think Pastor James said it. Against all odds, all hope. It's not even natural anymore. This is ridiculous, God. Ridiculous faith. It's absolutely ridiculous. It's hilarious, the Bible says. And sometimes we feel like just laughing. Well, Sarah did, didn't she? She had a good old laugh that she was going to have a baby. Honestly, sometimes God does want to do something that completely blows our minds. And I'm coming in to a faith. I mean, to an end, to a faith. I'm going into a faith. Here she comes. Choo-choo. I'm really hot. I got a puppy, by the way, I have to tell you. I'm going to go off on a little track and I am going to close because people look a bit tired, but I'm just going to let you know about my puppy. His name is Pablito. Pablito. I'm going to tell you a little story and then I'm going to come in with my last few scriptures. He's hilarious. But it's like having a newborn baby. I mean, I've just spent the last week clearing up and different things. He's got this very strange, like, box head. He's a puppy. Johan, he's nice, isn't he? Okay, Johan's been to see him. A few people have seen him. But he's got this very strange characteristic. He's a French bulldog. I think someone snuck a little bit of pig in there and a pug. A pug in a pig. It's like my two worst nightmares, a pug and a pig. And then they've told me it's a French bulldog. So anyway, this French bulldog's got a real big head, tiny little body. And all of a sudden he goes like this. I look at him, he goes. It's like, imagine he's got like this box head. He goes. I said, has he got a defect or something? Is there something wrong with this dog or something? Anyway, I was on a course the other day. I've been with this dog because Thomas was ill last weekend. I've been with this dog continuously and Thomas. All with diarrhea. I was just like. And I was in this course. I got out Monday morning. I was like, yes, Paul, you have to take Thomas and the dog. I'm on a course today. It's been booked in the diary for months. Bye. So I sit in this course. And I'm sat there and the instructor's going on and on. And all of a sudden my head went. Mm. I'm taking on characteristics of this dog. Pablito. Pablito. He's like, so if I start... excuse me. Because actually, who you hang with, you will become like. So if you see some characteristics, then it's why, right? Pray for me. Pray for us as a family. Acts 3:16. He says, and his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness. And I really am coming into a land. Perfect soundness, in the Greek word, it's holokeros, complete in every way. Do you know, he doesn't actually say, oh, anything about his legs, his feet, you know, whatever your ailment is, addiction, diseases, you know, whatever it is. I mean, I could list everyone in this church. You could probably put your hand up and say, okay, well, I can give you one. I've got loads. We've all got ailments. You may not be able to physically see you've been carried in, but many of us have got ailments that we come in with. And what this scripture says to me is that although we may think we need to be healed, or we need to be delivered of addictions, or we need to, you know, I'm lonely, God. We've got them all. All the ailments have come in, but God is interested in making you whole, integrity, whole mind, body, soul, spirit. Not just your physical needs, not just your five senses. I need, God, give me, I need. No, just not your needs. Maybe you think you know what your needs are, but God doesn't think that you need that, because otherwise you'd have it. Would you or wouldn't you? 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. He wants to deal with the whole person, church. And it's him. It's nothing to do with us. Nothing to do with you. It's him. He's who you look at. He's the third person. He's the Holy Spirit. He's building the church. The enemy may try. He tries. He's tried many things. With all of you, you could list the things the enemy's tried. But the Bible's very clear. He will not prevail. That Jesus will build his church. And he'll also build you. You're in his church. He cares for you. It's not just about all the hooplas and, well, this person. He knew you. He formed you. He cares for you. He cared for this lame man. He was declaring a message to those religious people. I care for that man. You lot and your whitewashed tombs. That's what Jesus said. I'm not saying that to you. In the same context as beautiful. God uses that in that context. Adorned on the outside. But the heart was far. He was talking about the Pharisees. The heart was far. And God was conveying something. Jesus was conveying, I care. I care for the broken. I care for the divorced. I care for the diseased. I care for the rejected. I care for the drug addict. I care for the widow. I care for the single mum. I care. And everything went against what the law said. The law said, leave them. Don't let them near. Ignore them. Dirty. But Jesus brought a new message. A new message. And that is the message he brings today. That he comes for all. He doesn't pick people off. He's intentional. He's certain. He came for all. That none would perish. And that all would have eternal life. Stand with me today. And if the worship team could come up.